Genesis chapter number 45. You pray for me. I'll be making a turnaround going home tonight and drove back up this afternoon and be driving back tonight. So you pray. Pray for all them people that will be beside me that I'll be awake and not run over them. Say amen right there. I like that verse where it says, where there is no law, there is no transgressor. I claim that a lot at night. I claimed it a whole lot last night, praise God. I don't think I saw the speed limit. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me one. I didn't know if he did or not. That was pretty much willful sin. Amen. But I thank the Lord for traveling mercy. When you're out on it as much as your preacher is, you see a lot happen on the roads, and it can be real easy. But thank God for God's people praying and God hearing prayer. Genesis 49, 45. You find you've got a Scofield Bible, that's page number 63. I didn't know there was a Bible controversy when I was a young man. All I ever knew was the King James Bible. All I ever knew was the Scofield Bible. Brother Edgar said, if you got the right Bible, turn your page. And I did, and I had the right Bible. It was the same page. I'm glad, thank God, I didn't cut. You don't hear. Let me just say this real quick. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as that? There ain't a contemporary song in America got words like that. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. When'd you hear? I mean, that neighbor, that's they don't know enough God to write that down. Amen. Those songs birthed out of deep, dark walks with God. And I thank God, I'm like the preacher, it may not be inspired, but it's the closest thing inspired to that King James Bible. Amen. I mean, I like it, praise God. I like that number 6. I want to know more about my Lord. Amen. I like that number 8. I love the Lord down deep in my heart. Amen. Number 14, I'll meet you in the morning, praise God. I sung a little bit of that last night on the way home, amen. Then I sung a little bit of 105 to myself. We read of a place called heaven. Amen, friend. How beautiful heaven must be. I like that number 50. What a happy time. So I'm glad tomorrow when we lay these heavy burdens down in this lonesome valley, amen. In the sweet forever, amen. I like that 46. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. There are many things I'd like to be. But thank God I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything. I like 44, amen. I used to see when I was a boy, hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Come, you heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry. How your load will bear. Bring your cares to Jesus, and he will meet you there. Come unto me. Come, I'm glad I came, praise God. Amen. I like that number 68. I'm a glad pilgrim on my way, headed to glory land. Jesus, my only hope and stay, holdeth me by the hand. It is such joy to understand things that I never knew, keeping my promise to the Lord I'm going through, praise God. Amen. That's 68. If you don't think I'm telling it right, get one out and look at it, praise God. I like that 76. Jesus spoke to me one day. Praise his holy name forever. Said and died my debts to pay. Bore my sin and shame. Through his servant here below. Thus he spoke to me. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen. I like that 88. You know what that is? That said, I'm going that way. I like that third verse on that one. I know I shall meet him at the gate when trials are past. I know I shall meet him face to face. Glory to God in glory at last. I like it. Man, we ain't even got it to the hundreds yet. Amen. Amen. There's a whole lot that I mean, 105, 110, heaven's jubilee. What about 114? Ever since Jesus saved and pardoned, I've been singing every day. I've never been sorry, praise the Lord, I got saved. 120, I heard an old story. How my Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary. Hey, man, there still is. I'm getting happy on the songbook, praise God. Hey, man. I like that 130. I never shall forget the day. Amen. 113 is probably my favorite. Glory to. Hey, some we sing might not get in. 113 will make it in the gates, praise God. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing up from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. I thank God. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. I'm pretty partial to 139. It said, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Here it is. Mercy that was great and grace was free. Oh, pardon there was multiplied to me. Oh, there my, that's where I got in. It's liberty. At Calvary. I like that 141. I believe that searched me, oh God. I like that. I mean, I got ones I sing before I go to my prayer closet. I got ones I get to sing when I think about heaven. I get to singing some when I'm thinking about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Number 150. The dearest friend. He saved my soul. Oh, bless his name. I'll never forget the day came. He makes me glad when I'm sad. Because he's the dearest friend I ever had. I like that old sinner come to Jesus now at his dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to him your every sin. Glory to God, you get saved right there singing that song. I done sung enough gospel in 139. Amen. At 150. Amen. At 76. At 68 to get us all born again. I like that real well. I like that 181 real good too. Where it said, blessed assurance, Jesus is Lord. Oh, greatest word in the Psalms, the greatest word filled with emotion is the shortest word in the book of Psalms. Oh. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It's an heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Glory. I'm about to get to look on a different shore, friend. Amen. Well, I kept 133. Let me back up, get that. Don't ever feel like I'm bad mouthing. Hey, I feel like traveling on. I don't care how tired I am. Why? Because the Lord has been so good to me. That's how that last verse of that starts. I like that 199, where the soul never dies. It said to Canaan's land, I'm on my way where the soul never dies. Hey, man. Like that real good. Amen. There's 235. Once like a bird, in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came, had listened to me, had glory to God. He set me free. I like that goodbye to sin and things that confound. All of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working and I'm praying too. And praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm still going through. I like that 308. Don't let me skip 305. On a hill far away. And there's a whole lot more in the 200s. Don't get me wrong. But that 305. Last place I went before we come home from Israel, I went to Calvary. It's a good thing they didn't take me there to start with. Because I'd have been ready to come home. That's the reason I went. Right over there, I left Calvary, walked right across that garden, and walked in that tomb. Somebody said, he ain't here. I said, I knew that before we got here. Praise God. What about that? We serve the only God where people don't go to his burial place to listen, to memorialize his death. They go to memorialize where he was. Because he ain't there. I like that. I like that 308. The old gospel ship. Cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be over. Our loved ones we shall meet. On that golden shore. I'm just getting, hey, look, athletes stretch and warm up before they, listen, they play, I'm stretching and warming up a little bit. Hey, man. I like 317. His love lights the way. I really like that. His love, I'd have went to hell. But see, when his love walked in, it turned the dark off and turned the light on. Yes. Then you get over to 3. You know, them 340s. 341, 343, bottom right. It's what a friend we have in Jesus. Isn't it 340s? 346. I like that. My name once stood with sinners lost. And bore a painful name. But by his blood, the Savior crossed and placed it on its roll. I like that 357 before I go pray. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Amen. 406, oh, spread the tidings right. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Then on 393, oh, when we all get to sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his beauty and his grace, sing the mansions bright and blessed, he prepared for us a place. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing, shout the victory. How you going to make melody in your heart if you don't know where any of them are? Amen. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. They got nothing to do with speaking in tongues or it being Ephesians 5. Amen. But it does have a whole lot to submit. Submit yourself one to another. Hey, man. You find me a man says he's filled with the Holy Ghost, won't submit to the Lord and his pastor, he ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. You find me a lady says she's filled with the Holy Ghost, won't submit to her own husband, she ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. There have been one time tempted to speak in tongues, but I have been tempted many times to speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in my heart unto the Lord. I may do that before I get home tonight all by myself. Everybody okay? Thank God for them hymns. Amen, friend. Everybody okay? I broke a sweat now, so I feel better. Amen. Genesis 45. Are you convinced yet that I love that church heaven? Praise God. Amen. I didn't say a Baptist hymnal got NIV most of it. I said a church hymnal, praise God. Amen. You say that's a Church of God book. Well, amen. Every once in a while, you may have to put a D on that word saved when they got with an S on the end of it. But it'll be all right. At least they ain't scared of the Holy Ghost. Same one right there. I am without apology. King James only. And Redback Church Hymnal, praise God. Amen. 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 I like number four too. I'm free again. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Amen. I better preach it. We won't get a drive. Let's stand our feet and let you stretch your legs. Genesis 45. The Bible said that Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. He wept aloud. The Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near unto me," or "Come near to me, I pray you." They came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." You can be seated. I want to look at Genesis chapter number 45 tonight. And I see one of the great pictures of salvation of the Old Testament contained in Genesis chapter number 45. You Bible students understand that one of the greatest types of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament is none other than Joseph. Probably greater and longer from beginning to his life up to the end of his life than any other type in the Old Testament. But may I say to you, Jesus was so concerned about neighbor us getting born again. He's contained so many and put pictures in Genesis all the way up through the book of Malachi, picture after picture after picture of the redeeming grace of God. Now I understand we're living in a day where there's a lot of men they call themselves hyper-dispensationalists and they want to dismiss the Old Testament, honey. But there's one verse that, listen, seeks their boat. It said all Scripture. It didn't say all the New Testament. It didn't say all the Pauline epistles. Honey, it said all Scripture. I'm glad, thank God, the Lord, of what he gave us in doctrine in the New Testament. If you find it in word in the New Testament, honey, you'll find it in pictures in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the illustration book of the New Testament. The preacher said yesterday, at lunch, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And over throughout the Word of God, Jesus has painted pictures of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In every book there's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said that's a hymn book. That's a H-Y-M-N book. But praise God, there is an H-I-M book. But he's on every page. He's in every chapter. Thank God we've got a Bible. Honey, that Jesus walks on every page. I remember picking up one of our friends, our little girl. She was about 2.5 years old. And she was in the back seat, and we were going to keep her for her mom and dad those days. And she got my preaching Bible. It was sitting in the back of the car. And she started flipping through my Bible. And I said, "Kaylin," I said, "honey, what are you doing?" And she said, "Brother Mark," she said, I'm looking for Jesus." And I knew what she was saying because I've got one in my hope chest. I've got one of those little blue, one of those blue children's Bibles. It's got those beautiful pictures all throughout that Bible. And that's the kind of Bible she had. And I knew she was looking through those pages but trying to find a picture of Jesus. And listen, I knew that I didn't have one of those in there, but it wasn't long. But she dropped my Bible in her lap and started clapping. I said, Caleb, what is he? She said, Brother Mark, I found him. I'm telling you, praise God. When I open this book on a daily basis, they say, what are you doing? I'm looking for Jesus, praise God. And I do like she does. I'll get the clapping and shouting the victory in my study, in the hotel room, in the prophet's room, in the truck, wherever I may be. When he walks off the pages and reveals himself to me, thank God I'm reading a hymn book. He walks out of the pages of the Word of God every day that I read it. Amen. Joseph, this story of Joseph. Man, what a picture of salvation. I look in here tonight and I see people, I'm sure, that were saved out of a rough lifestyle. I mean, out of sin and degradation and shame and guilt. But sitting on the same pew as that person is somebody that was raised in a Christian home. Doesn't know what cursing sounds like. Doesn't know what a fight sounds like. Doesn't know what beer smells like. Doesn't know what dope looks like. But can I tell you, they got saved by the same grace of God. Can I tell you, I've never found somebody too bad that they couldn't get saved. But listen, I've never found anybody too good that they didn't need to get saved. But I'm glad, thank God, he painted pictures so men, women, boys, and girls could come to know Christ. I think about it. I said it Monday night. That Old Testament said somebody was coming. The New Testament said somebody was here. And them epistles and Revelation say he's coming again. Hey, that's not a storybook. Amen. Hey, man, that's a Bible. It's not, it may contain historical facts, but it's not a history book. Amen. It may contain accurate scientific facts, but it's not a science book. Amen. Honey, pray. Have you ever heard anybody stand up and say, I want to thank God, preacher, can I say a word tonight? Preacher, I want to thank God for my biology book. Because, preacher, I was on dope. Listen to me, or I was a whoremonger. And man, when I studied the body, and I studied how the body was put together, it made me want to go home and be faithful to my wife. It made me want to be faithful to my family. Can I tell you how many times I've heard somebody stand and say, preacher, can I thank God for the Bible? I used to be an adulterer and unfaithful to my wife. But thank God one night a man of God stood in the pulpit and he preached the Bible and I got saved. You ever heard anybody stand up to me and say, preacher, can I say a word? I just want to thank God for my chemistry book. I used to be a dope head. And one day I went to chemistry class and they explained how all those elements work together to make this drug. And when I understood how it was put together, I just was so afraid of it, I went home and quit. Oh, no. No. But I've heard numbers say, preacher, can I stand up and say a word about the Bible? Hey, man, I used to be hooked on dope. I couldn't get away. I've been to this program and to that program. I've taken this medicine to step me down in that medicine. But can I tell you, one night, another lung, a spirit filled, an old time, a man of God, man of the pulpit, and he preached that blessed book to my heart, and I got saved, and I've never drunk another drop. But it's not them leather covers and that onion leaf page. But neighbor, when he opens that Bible on Sunday morning, out walks a man. Glory. I don't care if he opens it in Genesis. I don't care if he opens it in the poetical books. I don't care if he opens it in the historical books. I don't care if he opens it up in the prophets. I don't care if he opens it up in the Gospels or the book of Acts. You can open it up wherever you want to, and God will walk out. Man, I want to preach like somebody. Praise God. Why? Because that man that's walking out of the Bible is walking the corridors of my soul right now. Yeah, man. Oh, Joseph, what a picture of Christ. He was the favorite son of his father. All his Bibles say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Hey, they need to reread it. Praise God. He said, hey, we're all, listen. He said, we've become the sons of God. He's got more than one son. Had many received him, gave him the power to become the what? Sons. But they ain't but one only begotten son. You realize he's the only one that broke the veil of the womb from the inside out. Amen. He broke a veil before he took the other veil. Amen. It was the veil of that womb. Amen. His favorite son. The Bible said his father loved him more than any of the others. What about that? He was a special son. He was a man like this world had never seen. And may I tell you, there'll never be one like him again. Hey, they can walk and claim they're him. Or they can say they're a prophet, but honey, they wasn't but one man. Or they prophesied his birth and said where he was going to be born and how he was going to be born and how he would die and how he would come again. And his name's Jesus. He was shamed. He was scorned. What about this? His father sent him into the far country to check on his brethren. What about that? And when he got there, they rejected him, stripped him of that robe, that royalty, throwed him in a pit. The Bible said, where no water is. What about that? Hey, man. I read over where they put the Lord, where he laid down that tomb and he went to hell for 3 days. Hey, man. Hallelujah. He signed in Emmanuel. Parentheses, Jesus. He didn't sign in with a pen. He signed in his own blood. And he put a hyphen and he said, I'll be checking out in 3 days. Amen. What can I tell you? Praise God. He was not only a special son, but he was a suffering servant. The Lancaster, he suffered. You know what they did? After they sold him, they took his coat over there with blood on it and gave it to his father. You say, what his blood? His blood substitute. He probably has some of his blood on there too. Oh, yes. Hey, man. How did he know? Why did he think he was dead? Because his blood was shed. And he had that coat. And he knew there's no way that coat would be off of him. But there was no other way he'd have laid down that royalty and that deity except to die for mankind. I'm getting to the message. I'm just getting there. He was the suffering servant. Throwed him in a pit where no water is. Sounds a whole lot like hell to me. You say he didn't die. He was as good as dead to those boys. You know what Judah is? Judah in the New Testament is Judas. Who said to sell him? Old Testament Judas. New Testament. Old Testament Judah. New Testament Judas. Amen. His brother sold him. Because they didn't want him. Sounds like another man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But there was still somebody working behind the scenes. Man thought they God help man to think they could kill God. Amen. They've been trying to for a long time. Oh, but they've been unsuccessful. And when he was no longer the special son and no longer the suffering servant, neighbor, he was the seated sovereign. They said, is there such a one as this in whom the Spirit of God is? What did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh made him the number two man. You say, what they do? They put him in that chariot. And when Joseph rode through Egypt, he had somebody running before him. And they would say, bow down, Joseph is coming. And the only way you were going to do any business in Egypt, if you went to Pharaoh, he sent you to Joseph. The only way God's going to do any business with you in this life, you're going to have to do it with a son. Gave him a name, that Egyptian name, Zaphath-Paneah. You know what that word means in Egyptian? It means Savior of the world. You know what Pharaoh gave him after he gave him a new name? He gave him a Gentile bride. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what he got? When he became the Savior of the world, he got a Gentile bride and a part of it, amen. Glory. He's a seated sovereign. He's a special son. He's a suffering servant. But in Genesis 45, he's the seeking Savior. Here in Genesis 45, here these brethren have come back. You go back and look at how he treated them in verse number 42. But here they stand. All his brethren are standing up there where Joseph is. He's arrayed in his Egyptian garment. He's got the scepter. He's got the authority. And there he stands. He's speaking to them in Egyptian. But study the story. He don't sound like they do. He doesn't look like they do. Why? Because he has veiled himself. Genesis 42 said he made himself strange unto them. Joseph loves him. One reason they didn't know who he was they weren't looking for him. But them not knowing who he was did not in the least bit affect him knowing who they were. They had not come that day looking for Joseph. And they had not come that day to make their life right. But when they walked into there, they weren't looking for him. But he was looking for them. He wasn't looking to kill them. He wasn't looking to pass judgment. He was looking to forgive them. He was looking to restore them. He was looking to be their brethren again. I'm telling you, thank God what he was showing them was his grace was greater than their sin. He said, I am Joseph. No revelation, no salvation. When God gets you to the place where he throws everybody else out and he reveals himself. I'm not going to be vulgar, but I'm going to tell you what I think he did. He kicked all them boys out. There wasn't but one mark that he had in his body that would have convinced his brethren he was who he said he was. He bore that circumcision of the flesh. And him and his brothers were the only ones that bore that mark. Can I tell you what happened to me? When I got born again, the Holy Ghost circumcised my heart. He cut that dead flesh away from that live thing that's on the inside of me. You say, where the soul? How does the soul not die? Because when you got saved, God, the Holy Ghost, cut that dead flesh away from your soul, and it's forever saved. He said, I'm Joseph. The reason you can't get in, the reason you won't get saved, is look, you know he died for everybody else's sin. Amen.
Come here, my sister Wood. Come help me right here. Stand right there. How old are you? Now? 650. I always want to guess low with young ladies. You hear your daddy preach week after week. You've known about Jesus since you sat on the pew. You sit on the pews and your mom's. I mean, you heard preaching before you ever got here. But there'll come a day in every person's heart, it's not Jesus died for the world. But there comes a day when everybody else in the service goes away. And he said, I'm Joseph. I'm Christ. I'm Jesus. And he said, I bear the marks. I bear the marks in the flesh. I bear the marks of the cross in my flesh. He said, I've got a riven side and nail-pierced hands. But in the morning I got born again was when it got more than the world. And I realized he died for me. Revelation. You know what God does when a man preaches the Bible? It's revelation. God's revealing himself. They were wicked. They were wrong. They were had wronged. But there he stood. Genesis 42 said he spoke roughly to him. But then he would go away and cry. And he came back. Genesis 45, he ain't weeping privately no more. He's weeping publicly. And the reason he can weep publicly is because he wept privately. Hey, thank God for the day when the Lord got done crying over my soul. I got saved. You say, why is all this going on in my life? Why am I having these difficulties? The worst thing you can do as a lost person is go through life with no problem. Brother Joby, had there not been a famine, those boys would have still been in Canaan. They'd have never came to Egypt. What did the Lord say to Adam and Eve? He said, I've cursed the ground for your sake. What if he hadn't cursed that ground and had to leave? They'd have ate of that fruit and been sealed into that garden, their lost state forever. God may be using that tragedy in your life. God may be using that burden in your life to bring you to him. He may be speaking roughly right now. But he's just trying. He ain't speaking roughly because he don't care. He speaks roughly because he loves you. He's speaking roughly. Brother, show you what state you're in, neighbor. If you'll study Genesis 42, how when he was speaking roughly, that's when they finally said, we are guilty. We have done wrong. He said, we heard our brothers cry. We didn't pay attention. He said, listen to me. It was that rough speaking that brought him to the realization of where they were with God. Compassion. What about that? Joseph stood there knowing everything they had done. But he still unveiled himself and said, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. And I love you. What about the fact he knew what I did beforehand? But he knew what I was going to do afterwards. And he still said, I'm Jesus. I've been the one you've been kicking against. And I've been the one you've been running from. And I've been the one you put your hands over your ears and didn't want you to hear. And I'm the one you've not wanted. I'm the one you've rejected. I'm the one that you wish were dead. But guess what? I'm Jesus. A picture of compassion. Notice your Bible. Where'd I put my Bible? Notice verse 3. Not only a picture of compassion, verse 3, I see a picture of conviction. He said they were troubled at his presence. They didn't want to say nothing. Why? Because Because they were standing in front of a man who had all authority in Egypt. And if he had spoke the word, those boys would have died where they stood. They knew what they had done. They knew Joseph had known what they had done. And they were troubled. One of the great marks of our generation, no fear of God. Kids aren't scared. They don't fear mom and dad. I'm not talking about, listen, they're scared because you hit or abused. Let me tell you something. There's a difference of correction and beating a child. Amen. Let me just say this. Discipline happens before the whooping. Correction is the whooping. We got a whole lot more correction because we ain't got a whole lot of discipline before it. Amen. They don't listen. You watch out the boys and say, Dad, if that was me, we wouldn't live to get to the truck, would we? I don't want them to fear me like I'm going to hurt them. But they do need to fear that authority and reverence that authority. We better put it in. Let me tell you something, Mom and Dad. You do your children a disservice when you don't cause them to reverence that parental authority. Because if they can't reverence the authority they can see, do you believe they're going to reverence an authority that they can't see? You've never broke their will. Do you think they're going to surrender their will to God, the Holy Ghost? We talked today, God better save me. Listen, these children need to get saved early. Because the longer they go, the harder they get, and the deeper they get, and the more callous they become, and their will gets stronger. They were troubled. Can't tell you why they were troubled, because they were guilty. And they knew whatever Joseph did to them, he'd be right. Can I tell you when you'll get saved? Is when you take God's side against yourself. Mom and Dad, can I say this to you? Your children might get saved if you would take God's side against your children. Amen. Amen. Keep them out of the fire. Keep them out of the water. I'm going to take God's side in the thing. Publican said, I'm not like this man. Or the Pharisee said, I'm not like this old man. But that publican said, I'm a sinner. A conviction. And it may not take that same mallet of a hammer to crush a 7-year-old child. That it's going to take to crush a 45-year-old drunk, been a drunk for 40 years, 30 years. But I watch them children. He don't have to hit them with a hammer. All you got to do is tell them you're guilty and going to hell, and they break. I remember the night one of my boys came for 6 months. He said, Daddy, I prayed about getting saved. But on December the 17th, he walked out of that choir while they were singing, Thank God I'm Free. And he said, Daddy, I didn't come to pray about getting saved. He said, Daddy, I've come to get saved. You say, what happened? I tell you what happened up on that last pew, up on that last row of that choir. Of God, the Holy Ghost revealed himself in conviction and in compassion. I want you to know it's not only conviction and compassion. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. There's conversion. Look what he said. Joseph said to his brethren. Notice that next word.
Amen.
Come.
Amen.
Genesis 7, he said, come. Amen. Revelation 22, he said, come. And he's been saying, come everywhere in between. Amen. Amen. You know what they did when they came? They surrendered to Joseph's lordship. And the reason you won't get saved is you don't want somebody else calling the shots. Amen. When you get to the place, you'll yield your heart. Come help me, brother. They said years ago, I can't remember the book I read it in. You pray for me. They said that years ago, a Bible writer was talking about, he said, watch two mountain goats pass on a single in a single narrow path on the side of a mountain. He said those two goats came head to head with one another. And the man said, I want to see what happened. There was no way both of them could pass. And finally, one of the goats bowed down and laid down on the path. And the other one walked over and passed through by. He said, then the other one got up and walked on. You say, what am I going to have to do to get saved? Honey, you run headlong into God, the Holy Ghost. And it's a one-lane highway, amen. And may I say to you, he's not giving in. If there's going to be any giving in, it'll be on your part. But he's been saying, come, and come, and come, and come. And all you've got to do is come. Most of you repent when you step out of the pew. You yield right there. I'm going with you. You surrendered. You got down. He said, come. Come. Can I bless the day that I came? Amen, friend. I came. Joseph said to those guilty boys, the ones that had rejected him and scorned him, he said, come. How do you get saved? By grace. It was grace. They came by grace. Because they should have died. Somebody said, they saw a plumber sign on the side of the truck that said, there's no place too dark, too dirty, or too deep for us. That's about like the grace of God. There's no place too dark, too deep, or too dirty. They said, there's two preachers sitting in Atlanta, Georgia, come to Atlanta for a conference, and this man from the north came in there and he ordered breakfast. They brought him his breakfast plate. He had two eggs and some eggs and bacon on there, and it had the grits on there. And that Yankee said, what are these? And that lady said, sir, those are grits. He said, I didn't order these, and I'm not paying for them. She said, sir, down here, they come. They just come, and you don't have to pay for them. Can I say praise God? That's about like grace. Amen. When I got saved, it just came with a deal. And I didn't have to pay for it because somebody else had paid my bill. Some of you are trying to get clean. I'm going to quit this. I'm into this. And I'm going to quit that before I get saved. You'll never get good enough. He didn't go tell them. He didn't go out there and tell them to jump through a whole bunch of hoops and go apologize to 15 people. He said, just come over here. Because I'm the one you've wronged. Come over here to me. Salvation. Conviction. Conversion. Then I want you to know, look at confession. Notice what he said in verse 4. He said, come. Look what he said in verse 9. He said, go. Go tell your daddy. Go tell my daddy. What should we tell him? Tell him I'm alive. Tell him I've got a name above every other name. Tell him I'm the fairest of 10,000. Tell him that I forgave you for what you've done. He said, go tell him. Confess it. Glory to God. Go tell him. And if a man ever gets born again, or a woman ever gets born again, praise God, they'll confess it.
Amen.
Amen. He's alive. He said, go tell him all of Egypt's at my feet. Praise God. Confession. He said, come. Then he said, go. Then I want you to notice verse 14 and 15, what happens after you get saved. Don't you know they were still wearisome? Don't you know they probably still thought, man, is he going to kill us? But look what he did. He said, tell my father all my glory. All my glory in Egypt. He said, then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Look at verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren. That ain't conversion. That ain't conviction. That ain't compassion. That's communion. They all wicked, full of, I mean, man should have died. And he walked over and said, I love you, sir. I love you, Richard. I love you. I love you, baby. Glory to God. Hallelujah. went one by one, them boys that didn't deserve his love, didn't deserve his time, deserved judgment. Had he spent time with them? Had he loved on them and communed with them? Can I tell you, you can pardon somebody without loving them, but you can't commune with somebody without loving them. Thank God. I'm glad when I got born again, he didn't walk off and leave me, but he's been with me all the way. You know what he did? He walked up to Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, this is Benjamin and Reuben. Went through all his brothers. Never one time told Pharaoh what they had done. He said, these are my brethren. What about today? Glory to God. Amen. There's going to be a day when our will praise God with our heavenly Joseph. He's going to look at the one that's in heaven, and he's not going to tell him what we've done or where we could have been. He's going to say, Father, these are my brethren. Thank God for the communion of the Holy Ghost. Not ashamed of his brethren. There's probably some of us, if we'd be honest, if some of our family walked in here tonight, it'd probably embarrass some of us. Them boys walked up in Pharaoh's presence and said, these are my brethren. Commune. Let me say a word about that compensation. When they got in there and started communing with him, he said, Pharaoh said, here's you some wagons. Go get your family. And he said, regard not your stuff, because I got plenty. And I got more than you got. And what I got's better than what you got. So you just take mine and leave yours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I say for 20 years I've been eating off his wagon. And his wagon's better than my wagon. And his horses are better than my horses. And his food's better than my food. But then I'm quitting. There's a communication. Proverbs said, as cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far castle. Joseph's daddy's sitting there, and he came in there and said, hey, daddy. He told him, how do we show the world that he's alive by our love? He said, fall now out. In other words, don't get tore up amongst yourself. Right. Get all the way home and come all the way back. Yeah. We're going to show the world. How do we know the path from death to life? You love the brethren. If you don't love church folk, amen. I don't like all of them, but I love most of them. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I'm just playing. Love. But then his love. That's the only way you love folk. Hey, you know what the love of God is? It's a perfect love given to an imperfect person. Our love. But Joseph's daddy didn't believe him until he saw the wagons. You know why God's hanging some of them things in your life, them blessings, and that fruit in your life? Because some of them people you're telling ain't going to believe it till you step aside.
Right.
Till you roll up your sleeve and say, no needle marks. No, I'm not cutting myself anymore. No fresh tattoos. No black eyes. Not in a bar fight anymore. Hey, man. They may try to dismiss that word, but they'll never dismiss what you're bringing in tow. That proves he is alive. And his daddy didn't believe until he saw the wagons rolling up. I want to say thank God for some wagons.
Amen.
There won't be no communion. And there won't be any conversation. There won't be any confession until it starts with conversion. He said, come. Come. What a picture. God wants, he didn't wait to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to share the gospel. That gospel is preserved in that Old Testament. It ain't going to be long. I'm going to preach on the gospel according to Ezekiel. I've been preaching a little bit on Sunday mornings on the gospel according to. I'm going to get over at Ezekiel where that uncut, unwashed lady. I know that's a picture of part of Israel. What a picture of a sinner. Laying out there unwashed and uncut and unclothed. But the phrase in that text just about rips my soul. It said, this was thy time of love. That baby didn't get up. That baby didn't get up and go looking for that man. No, that man come looking for that baby. Amen. And Joseph's brothers didn't come looking for him. Oh, but Joseph was looking for his brothers. Oh, he so wanted you to get saved. He put picture after picture after picture of the Son of God. You ain't got to go any past Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. It said the earth was without form and void. Darkness on the face of the deep. Pretty much depravity right there. But what happened? Spirit of the Lord moved across the face of the deep. Amen. And what happened when the Spirit of the Lord moved across the face of the deep? He said, let there be light. A salvation in the first 5 verses of the Bible. Just in case you didn't want to read past Genesis 1. He said, I've got a hook in there for you. You'll let him. The Spirit of God will move across the face of your head. He'll say to you, let there be light. He knows a bunch of hoops. That gospel invitation is still this. Come.
Amen.
And the only way you'll ever come to God is through repentance and faith. The only way you come. That's exactly right. There was a yielding. Them coming to him, they were saying, Joseph, you're the Lord of Egypt. And you're our Lord. When they did that, he took their part. Gave them what he had. And their future was changed forever. Heads were bowed.